Hello everybody and welcome back to the HTAC AfriCast. It is a Wednesday, which means it's time for another edition. My name is Clinton Matos, here from HTXT Africa. Join me today, Nick Cowan.
Hello.
Brendan Lotz.
Hello.
I don't know why I say our names every time. It's been us for like the last 100 episodes.
Because it's the only taste of stardom you will ever have, Clinton.
Okay. Why you gotta be like that, Nick? Gotta cut me down in my prime. Anyway, let's get... I usually bounce around on what we should start with. Let's start with Ford Kuga, because Brendan has some...
I think we should start with something else.
Why? Yeah, let's not jump straight into the bad news.
I think that we should, it is our headliner, but it's like I think we should start with the fact that Brendan's mum listened to the podcast last week and was apparently rather unimpressed by the fact that he decided to tell all our listeners she gave him food poisoning.
And guess what she gave me, Clinton, as a gift?
Food poisoning.
No, not again. She gave me a soundtrack, a Star Wars soundtrack.
Okay. Was that to make up for it?
Yeah.
Okay.
For episode one.
I thought...
The Phantom Menace.
Duel of the Fates is a pretty good... Everybody loves that. No, the music is quite fine.
Yeah, but it's a constant reminder of one of the worst Star Wars movies I've ever seen in my life.
And she knows this.
And she does know that.
That's why your mum rocks.
So you got a...
I got a backhanded gift.
You got mind poisoned. I've never heard of a backhanded gift. Heard of like backhanded.
Well, now
compliment.
You have.
Backhanded gift.
That's a real thing that happened.
Interesting trivia about that that soundtrack you have there. Did you know that that was responsible for spoiling episode one for all the little kiddies? I mean, the thing is, you could say that Star Wars episode one spoiled everything for everybody anyway.
Yeah.
But it gave away two massive spoilers.
Really?
Mm. Why, in the names of the songs or something?
One of the names of the songs is Qui-Gon Jinn's funeral. So, and the death of Qui-Gon Jinn is another one. So, you know,
it's kind of obvious.
Why would you name your songs that? It's like, oh, it's Duel of the Fates.
Well, that's the thing, is that like the soundtrack, track listing was leaked ahead of the film. So...
Leaks.
Not that
don't
it made
really
any difference
leaks.
To any of us in the long run.
No, yeah. Everybody's
plus it's
it.
A prequel. It's not like
we didn't know what the story was.
Well, we didn't know Qui-Gon Jinn was only going to get one film.
Yeah. Well, we didn't even know who he was. So
also, you could say to yourself, Liam Neeson probably said, "Yeah, I'm only doing this once.
Easy come, easy go.
I'm out of here."
Liam Neeson looks half asleep at that movie.
I'm going to take my midi chlorians and go home.
Anyway. So, yeah.
Right, so I think now we can dive.
Now
into
we can
Ford.
Dive into the Ford Kuga.
Now that we've seen Brendan burned, let's go and look at some cars getting burned.
So what happened, Brendan?
Okay,
tell
so
us.
For the last couple of months, Ford Kugas fitted with a 1.6-liter EcoBoost engine. Have been spontaneously catching fire.
Mm.
And people have been reporting on this and trying to find out what the problem is. And Ford remained quite silent for a while. The first incident to my mind that of this happening, or the first big news-making story of this happening, was when... A driver actually, Rishal Jimmy, actually died in a vehicle that caught a light, which is, it's not something nice to talk about.
Yeah.
But yeah. And ever since then, Ford Kuga vehicles have been catching fire for any given reason. And yesterday, Ford and the National Consumer Commission gave a press briefing where Ford actually announced that it was going to recall these vehicles.
And I saw a newspaper headline, there's
4,556 Kugas built, or this is what Ford believes, there are 4,556 Kugas out there in the wild.
Yeah.
And these Kugas are built between December 2012 and February 2014.
So that is that just all the Kugas or just the ones?
Just
that
those ones
engine?
In that specific manufacturing period where they believe there is a problem.
Okay.
So the problem, according to Jeff Nemeth, who is the Ford Motor Company South Africa's CEO, have been determined to have been started due to a lack of coolant circulation, which may result in the cylinder head cracking and oil leaking out.
Oh my God.
And then he said, this leaking oil has the potential to catch fire should it come into contact with the hot engine component.
Most of the engine is hot.
So you're essentially saying it's an oil fire.
Well, essentially, they're still determining what the cause is, but they've determined that right now there is a problem with the coolant circulation, and that may cause the cylinder head to crack. So, as part of this recall, it's going to take place in two parts. So, the vehicles are going to be recalled, and the parts are going to be replaced. Now, Nemeth also said that there is a shortage of parts at the moment, which we have reported on previously as well. So, if Ford can't repair your car right then and there, they said they'll give you a courtesy car. But this is a bit of a problem because previously Ford called for a maintenance check. So if you owned a 1.6 liter Cougar with an EcoBoost engine, you had to go to a Ford dealership to get a maintenance check. And a couple of people on a Facebook group mentioned that, the name of the group escapes me now, something like Burning Ford South Africa. We'll have links in the... That is the name of the
It's not called Lorks or Lloydie, My Ford is on Fire.
No. Have said that they've had problems when they took their car in for a maintenance check and they didn't get a courtesy car. So that might be something to watch for in the coming weeks.
Did they have to pay for their maintenance check?
No, it was a free maintenance check.
Okay.
So, yeah. So now Ford has said that it is recalling these vehicles. And the commissioner said something that really struck me.
The commissioner?
Gordon. Not the commissioner, Gordon. The commissioner of the National Consumer Commission, Ibrahim Mohammed.
Okay.
He said something that kind of hit me. It was, one unfortunate incident is too many. This incident has dragged on for far too long.
Right.
So to date, about 48 Cougars have spontaneously caught fire on South African roads. Ford says that they have 33 incidents that they have on record of insurance companies reporting to them that their vehicles are catching fire. One of the questions, though, that everybody's asking is why it took so long.
Why did it take so long? I mean, I know that didn't the Ford SA CEO pitch up yesterday and say, really sorry?
Yeah, he did apologize.
Did he give any reason as to why it took a year or so to get these cars off the road?
Something I also want to know. Imagine trying to get 4,500 courtesy cars. Where are they going to get that many cars?
Well, think about all the parts that you now need to order.
I know you're a car manufacturer, but you don't just have 4,500 cars lying around to give out. Well, not to give, but to borrow people.
Yeah,
lend people.
Yes, I corrected myself after that, Nick. Shush.
What do you do for a living?
I don't do anything, actually.
So,
that's really scary.
But what's even more curious is that there's a brand of Ford overseas called the Escape, which is pretty similar to the Cougar. I'm not too clued up on
the exact. I think that's just the territory.
Yeah, the territorial name. And they found a similar problem with that vehicle. But it just feels like Ford shifted their feet for the longest time before, until the Consumer Commission came up and said, shuffled their feet. What did I say?
Calm down, Nick.
Shifted.
I'm the bloody editor.
You're not allowed to edit our speech.
I'm totally allowed to edit your speech.
The stuff we write.
So, yeah.
Don't you tell me what my remit is, little man.
So, yeah, I don't know what happens next for Ford South Africa, but this is a really big deal.
Mm.
And coming back from this is, especially given that it took so long for them to make or to go with a recall. And by all accounts, it seems like it was the NCC, the National Consumer Commission, that kind of went, all right, cool, you need to do a recall now because this is getting out of hand.
This is like the third major thing that's happened like this. I mean, like before that, it was the Samsung
Note 7.
Blowing up, but they acted on that very, very quickly.
I look at Samsung and go, wow, Ford, why don't you just emulate them? Because within a day of the reports coming out that Note 7s were exploding, Samsung was like, right, recalling.
Yeah.
And then once they discovered that the recall hadn't worked, right, we're cancelling the brand or the product line.
Maybe it's just industries. I don't know. I mean, I'm not trying to cast aspersions on any industries, but the last car manufacturer to stick their foot in it was VW.
Yeah.
With their
emissions
scandal. And you have to wonder if anyone had done any research, would we be seeing a recall? I don't know. I don't know.
And I wonder why it's only our versions, the Kuga, because I'm looking up on some international news and it's the Ford Escape is just not in the news. It's all the ones, it's about our country and the Ford Kuga.
Yeah.
I wonder why our versions, it happened
bad
to them.
Bad egg in the in the production line. Something you'll find there's probably were like they used a different supplier. Well, here's speculation.
The thing is that unless you've got enough money to fight a lawsuit brought against you by a massive internationally renowned car brand, I would refrain from speculating. You don't need to respect.
No, I'm not speculating. I'm just saying it's strange that it didn't happen to the way manufacturers do it is they have the same car and they just rebranded. I'm just saying it's strange that it didn't happen with the Ford Escape.
That's interesting.
That we didn't hear it.
Well, speaking of legal actions, there's a class action lawsuit pending, or isn't it?
Yeah, I saw that just before I left the house to come and record this podcast, which is that's a big deal. And I think one of the reasons that has been brought on is that I saw a report yesterday that Jimmy's claim wasn't approved because of his insurance company.
Ah.
So that might be what triggered this class action lawsuit.
Or it could also just be that, like, you know, with a recall this size and this many people inconvenienced and all that money that has gone down the toilet, that someone somewhere goes, we have a better chance of taking these people on if there's many of us rather than just one of us.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah, that's Ford recall. If you own a Ford Kuga 1.6 liter with an EcoBoost engine that was built between December 2012 and February 2014, you need to go to your nearest Ford dealer as soon as possible to have them have it checked out.
There's a tweet on their page here. Safety recall has been initiated for Ford Kuga 1.6. Urgently contact your Ford dealer or Ford customer services on... I won't say the number. Yeah, I'll put it in the text, but big thing.
It's a very big deal. So yeah, if you have a Ford Kuga, take it to your dealer immediately with a 1.6 liter EcoBoost engine. Don't go with the 2 liter diesel or something like that. They're just going to tell you that there's nothing wrong with your car.
Unless, of course, there is something wrong with your car.
Well, we don't know that yet. Ford says that there isn't anything wrong. It's just this model.
I'm not saying that there's something inherently wrong with the model. I'm just saying, you know, who knows? They might look under the hood and go, well, we can fix your spark plugs for you.
Yeah.
And,
obviously.
And it's
get your brakes changed.
It's going to be really bad as well, because now if you just own a Ford, you've probably lost resale value of your car.
That's something that I was wondering about yesterday, is if I have a Ford Kuga now, and like it's... Not just the reason I have to say 1.6 liter with an EcoBoost engine is so that people know it's that specific brand.
Yeah.
I mean, if I'm going through looking for a secondhand car and I see Ford Kuga, I'm not even going to stop to see if it's the right brand.
You're going to have to put, like, on Gumtree, Ford Kuga, not the one that catches fire. And you're going to have to put that in bold letters. And even though if you do that, you're still going to lose resale value.
Absolutely. So, yeah, we'll see how Ford comes out of this at the end of the day.
Well, you know.
Internal combustion engines.
Combustion.
Let's talk about something more cheerful than that. How about the fact that Donald Trump's going to be sworn in this week?
Oh, yeah, that's so
It's
funny.
Cheerful for us because we don't live in America.
Yeah, because America never does anything that affects us.
No, never, especially all those nukes that they have. That doesn't affect...
Yeah.
Well, I said, what was the interesting thing that we saw today?
Well, basically what happened was he's trying to get... I think it was Lungello released on Monday, basically the lineup for his inauguration, the bands and the artists that will be playing there. And I don't know about you, I haven't heard of one of them except for Three Doors Down, whose only hit was, I think, 1998 or something.
Kryptonite.
And it was rubbish.
Yeah.
And they have been rubbish ever since.
I like that song.
So but you're wrong about so many things.
You like the Warcraft movie. Your opinion means nothing, Nick.
Everybody say, I like the Warcraft movie. Say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. You're outnumbered. And you are
in this group of, this room of four people where one of us isn't even talking, hasn't seen the movie. Lungi's in the room. Say hello, Lungi, from the other side of the room. It just echoes in the background.
But what one of the bands on this list that he tried to get was called the B Street Band. And the reason being is because he wanted Bruce Springsteen to play his inauguration Presumably so he could have Born in the USA played. I'm assuming, because, you know...
Because that's a really great song for a president to play.
Well, it was Ronald Reagan's campaign song, and it shows you he didn't listen to the lyrics
of
it.
No, not at all.
Born in the USA is about how rubbish the USA is for some people. Yeah. But anyway, so Bruce Springsteen, I think, candidly told him to... He wasn't interested, let's put it that way. So he hired this thing called the B Street Band, which does cover versions of Bruce Springsteen's songs, and this week they pulled out. So, you know, he can't even get a cover band to come to his inauguration and sing Born in the US.
I remember reading the story this morning, and they said in another statement, they were like, the only reason we're doing this is because we don't want to disrespect Bruce Springsteen. When Bruce Springsteen has more gravitas than the president of the country you live in.
Well, in all fairness to the B Street Band, they are covering his back catalogue.
I suppose.
And like, let's be honest, if you're a guy who wrote some pretty damn good music, and there are people out there who make a living playing that music, and then they go and they play the inauguration of someone you've gone on record as saying some pretty nasty things about... How impressed would you be?
Yeah, no, I don't think I'd be too happy about that.
Exactly.
You know, you don't want to piss off your idol, basically.
Yeah. No, absolutely.
And the person that can just say these people are doing copyright infringement on my music.
I don't know. What are the laws in America about cover bands? I think it's...
Well, it's a good thing you asked me, because, as you know, I have a degree from Yale and Harvard in copyright law.
We learn something new about our employer about our coworkers every day, everybody.
No, I have no idea, but yeah, that was the thing. I mean, I've got the full list of the of these artists here.
Let's see if we can spot the ones we know.
Okay, this is going to be Trump. An inaugural band list bingo. Okay.
No, do you know what this is? This is, he's actually using an indie lineup of people you don't know yet.
Oh, he's that cool.
Yeah. That cool.
So in actual fact, Donald Trump is the king of the hipsters.
Hipster president.
That's the only way you'd get away with that hair.
Oh,
anyway,
my God.
So yeah, Jackie Evancho.
Never heard of them.
The Mormon Tabernacle Choir.
Okay, no, never heard of them.
The Rockettes.
Yeah, I know them.
No, I know them. I know them, and I don't know anything.
Three Doors Down.
Yeah, shame. They must really be hard up for gigs.
Toby Keith.
Is he a country singer, maybe?
No idea.
No idea.
Lee Greenwood.
Nope. He may have won an Idols, maybe, didn't he? I don't know.
The Piano Guys.
There's
Piano Guys.
This is the name.
It sounds like a piano repair shop.
The Piano Guys.
DJ Ravy Drums.
These can't be real.
Excuse me, this is a broadcast. Excuse me, take this seriously. This is the presidential inauguration. Big and Rich.
I know Big and Rich.
Is that just Donald Trump's stage name?
Shots fired.
Big and Rich.
Talladega College.
Talladega College. I thought Talladega was... Wasn't that the Talladega Nights?
That's where they have that racetrack.
The Tornado Marching Band.
Okay. Nope.
And the Frontmen of the Country, which just sounds like...
It sounds a little bit suspicious.
Well, no, it's not that. The Frontmen of the Country. That's a pretty damn bold statement to make when no one knows who the hell you are.
Yeah.
I'm the front man of South Africa. Who the hell are you? You know? And apart from, like, Bruce Springsteen, who turned him down, I think...
Celine Dion
turned him down. She said, look, I may have recorded the title track for Titanic, but I've got standards.
Not like this.
And Elton John turned him down as well.
Oh, I wonder why.
Let's go back here. He asked Elton John to play.
Yeah. And
okay. I'm confused by that.
Well, especially since his vice president believes gay people should be electrocuted.
That's exactly why I'm confused.
But hey, he makes good music.
I'm just waiting for one of these guys to turn around and just like launch into a protest song about...
That would be amazing.
About Donald Trump. Like Three Doors Down makes their comeback by doing something like American Idiots, but with Donald Trump's name spelled out in the chorus.
Wouldn't that be Green Day?
Well, yeah, but... The Green Day was...
Are you going to watch it?
When is it?
It's this Friday.
Time on Friday?
Well, local time, 6 p.m.
Okay.
Is when I'm assuming the first act goes on. But he actually gets sworn in at 7 o'clock.
Okay. Well, I'll give it a squiz on the YouTube.
I will watch the highlights and remixes that people make.
So in other words, you're just going to look for the memes.
Yes.
Okay.
Because I can't really.
I expect the best Trump memes for you on Monday.
I guarantee that they're going to happen, though.
The great thing is that apparently, like Trump said, his first day of office is Monday. So apparently he's giving himself the weekend off after he gets sworn in.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. That's how it works. That's always good. So he's not going into the Oval Office to get the secret documents.
Introduced to the aliens.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there was a kind of like, wasn't there a story a while back that this guy didn't want to sleep in the White House? He wanted to sleep in his own...
I think there were. I do remember hearing that. Like, he wanted to stay in his own penthouse.
I don't want to use Air Force One because my private jet's better. And then there was the other thing about he doesn't need any briefings because he's, like, way smart.
I feel like Donald Trump is the president smart. I would be when he was president, because he doesn't seem to know what, like, being the president entails. So
I must admit I'm very, very interested to see what the next 4 years is going to look like. Here's the thing. Like, love him or hate him, the next 4 years is going to be very... very interesting.
I feel like we're going to be really tired.
Won't be boring. That's the best thing you can say about Donald Trump. Not boring.
Yeah. Well, no, someone pointed out the fact that, like, you know, another thing that you have to give the guy props for, which I would say I almost have some sort of jaded respect for if I didn't find the whole thing so terrifying, is the fact that this guy basically won the election through Twitter.
Yeah.
All right? I mean... he says,
and he's still going.
Yeah, and this is the thing, is that he's going to apparently carry on tweeting from his own account rather than take the POTUS account.
Okay.
You know?
I would be happy about that because it doesn't taint the name of the POTUS account, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, but this is the thing, is that, like, you've got, like, a situation where, like, every single time the news cycle moved away from him, he'd come out and say, so-and-so's relative killed Kennedy. And it's like, no. Yeah, and like no one's
Saturday Night Live is so bad, yeah. So bad.
And it's like, you know, Barack Obama is the founder of ISIS, you know, and it's like, I'm going to have Clinton arrested. And these things was like, the media attention immediately swings back to him just because of the outrageous things he says. And no one cares about policy. No one cares about the things he's going to do. I mean, like the other day he said, like, oh, we're getting rid of Obamacare. And somebody asked him if he had a plan about what to follow it with. And so, like, nothing happened. And then, like, the other day apparently said, yeah, there's going to be free, healthcare for everyone.
Has wow. Been.
How is this going to happen? Who knows?
Because of mysteries.
You know, what's ridiculous? This whole time we've been speaking, we've been saying, I'm not sure if he said this, but and then we say something. And it's like, you're probably 50% right.
Yeah.
Even if he didn't say that, he either has said half of it or it's like...
he's implied it.
No, or you think of it as like, he didn't say that, but I can understand if you did.
Yeah.
I think the only person with a more insane Twitter account than him at the moment has got to be Kanye. You know,
even Kanye, though, I can look at that timeline and understand.
But this is the thing with Kanye and both Trump, is that, like, it encourages you, I think, to be a better journalist or perhaps even just a better consumer of media and news, because whenever you see a Trump tweet shown up on Facebook or whether you see a Kanye tweet that someone's showing on Facebook, you don't believe it anymore.
No.
You immediately run to the official account to see if it was actually true.
Yeah.
You know, and then and some of these people who are trolling you on Facebook are so good that, you know, you think even when you find out it's not true, you go, you know what? I'm glad I know it's not true, so I'm not going to share it with anybody. But I could totally believe he'd say that.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like last year, what was it? Kanye said something about being the next Nelson Mandela.
Yeah.
Except he didn't. That was fake.
Oh, okay.
But I could totally...
I understand him saying that.
No, not understand him, but I could totally believe he'd say that.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, if you want to watch... The funniest thing I've seen about the inauguration is that one British newspaper gave you the time and the channel to watch it on, and then they wrote a TV listing of it that reads like a Twilight Zone episode.
Okay.
I'll hunt this down.
The tweets from the Black Mirror Twitter account are also pretty good, where they're saying that like 2016 was an episode of Black Mirror. I like that as well.
I don't think Black Mirror's ever been that clever. No, I'm sorry. I think Black Mirror's very good at times, but I'm not sorry to say that this is
not that good.
No. You haven't deep dived enough to take credit for that, Charlie. Sorry. Okay, so basically, this listing appeared in the Scottish Herald.
Yeah.
And it says, President Trump, the inauguration, 4 p.m. BBC One, Scottish TV. After a long absence, the Twilight Zone returns with one of its most ambitious, expensive, and controversial productions in broadcast history. Sci-fi writers have often dabbled with alternative history stories. Among the most common is the What If the Nazis Had Won the Second World War setting. But this huge interactive virtual reality product, which will unfold on TV, in the press, and on Twitter over the next 4 years, sets out to build an ongoing alternative present. The story begins in a nightmarish version of 2017 in which huge sections of the US electorate have somehow been duped into making Donald Trump president. It sounds far-fetched, and it is, but as it goes on, it becomes more and more chillingly plausible. Today's feature-length opener concentrates on the gaudy inauguration of President Trump and the stirrings of protest and despair surrounding the ceremony, while pundits speculate gravely on what lies ahead. It's a flawed piece, but a disturbing glimpse into the horrors we could stumble into if we're not careful.
That's pretty good. Yeah. That's very good.
Forget the East Street band. You're being trolled by the Scottish Herald. They're fake news.
Fake news. You're fake news.
Okay, let's talk about something a little less scary than nuclear apocalypse, maybe.
All right.
Hideo Kojima, right? Famous game designer.
Who's he?
He's just some guy in Japan. He makes games sometimes.
Oh, okay.
That's so racist.
What is he?
Just some guy in Japan.
Yeah. Okay, so yes, he did Metal Gear Solid, and now he's working on Death Stranding. Now, if you see this pop up in like dumps of facts that you see on Twitter or whatever, that when he was designing the first Metal Gear game, he planned it out using Lego bricks. And
wow,
that's how he made the maps. And that wasn't just a one-time thing. This guy loves Lego. If you go on his Twitter account, you'll see, if you go to the media section, there's just pictures of Lego. And like, even when he posts things about his games, like a picture, there's Lego in the background. I like this guy a lot. His next game, Death Stranding, is a PS4 exclusive, and it's using the same engine as the upcoming game, Horizon Zero Dawn. Now, he recently put out a picture of a little Lego build he did of one of the robot dinosaurs from Horizon Zero Dawn. Now, that's cool and everything, but that build actually came from here in South Africa.
Yeah.
Because Lego doesn't own the license to Horizon Zero Dawn. So a fan from South Africa, his name's Wayne De Beer. Hello, Wayne, if you're listening to this. He made a fan model. It's called a mock, my own creation. Mm. And he put it on Facebook with a hashtag or whatever is on Facebook of Horizon Zero Dawn. And the community manager from Guerrilla Games, who was making that game, sent him a message saying, hey, I'd love to build one of these. Can you send me the instructions? So he drew those up. He made a very rough draft. He sent it to him. And now there's one of these Lego Tallnecks in Amsterdam. And then we don't know how Hideo Kojima got the plans for this. Maybe he just did it by sight, because you can do that. And he also built one of these Tallnecks. So from South Africa, it's gone to Japan through Amsterdam.
Mm.
So it's a really strange, like...
Didn't you write this story?
Yes, I did.
Because I read it on Kotaku.
No. it's really strange that, we read these stories about these things overseas and you never think they have any relevance to South Africans. Like, wait a minute, I saw that at a local Lego show that was in the mall in Pretoria in the underground parking lot, and now flipping Hideo Kojima is building it in Japan.
That's pretty cool.
It's kind of surreal, and I was talking to Wayne over email, and he says, yeah, it's very surreal. I can't imagine that...
Here's a question for you. Have you played much Hideo Kojima games?
I've played all of Guns of the Patriots.
Right. Was that the fourth one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can't say I've played much besides that, because that kind of tired me out. And then I played the first 3 hours of Ground Zeroes. Not Ground Zeroes, Phantom Pain.
The Phantom Pain.
Yeah.
I can lend you Ground Zeroes if you want.
No. Well, isn't Ground Zeroes part of Phantom Pain?
Oh, no. Basically, Ground Zeroes, a lot of people call it a very expensive tech demo.
Yeah.
But it was a really, really good game. It was one of those games that could take you up to about 6 to 8 hours, or you could do a speed run through it. It was very interesting. But
the reason I haven't played more of it is because I bought it on a Steam sale, and I installed the flipping 70 gigs, or however much it was. And I started playing, and it got to the point in the campaign where they let you do whatever you want. And I was just like, this is going to take me a few hundred hours to beat, and I don't have a few hundred hours right now. So it's still installed on my hard drive, and I'll get back to it at some point. I'm really looking forward to Horizon Zero Dawn, though, because I love robots, and these are robot dinosaurs, which makes them twice as good.
Well, no, the reason I was asking is because I've played, like, the first two Metal Gears, and I played Revengeance, which obviously is not...
I've also played Revengeance, not, but I don't think it was made by...
It's not a Hideo Kojima game. Yeah. It's Platinum Games. And if you've ever played a Hideo Kojima game, you will know that they are unique in that they are... You know, the thing is that Hideo Kojima, I think, more than any other developer, is associated with Metal Gear, more than any other developer is associated with any other IP in the world.
It's kind of like his identity in game form.
So, what do you think is going to happen to Metal Gear now that they kicked him out?
Well, we already know. They're making Metal Gear Survive, which is a horde, kind of a horde zombie mode of Metal Gear. And if you've ever played Metal Gear and you know what it's about, you'll know that that's an absolute bag of bollocks.
Kojima, so kind.
Yeah, Kojima and the people who made that game.
The distributors are listening to this. Well,
what I'm trying to say, it's not in the spirit of Metal Gear. It's just not in the spirit of the game and what it's always been about. I'm more interested to see what is going to happen with Death Stranding.
How are you going to play Horizon Zero Dawn?
I'm going to steal my brother-in-law's PlayStation 4.
I am seriously considering buying a PlayStation just to play that game.
Really?
Yeah.
I hope it's good.
I really want to play that game.
Well, wait for me to review it. It's not really
bad.
Who says
you're reviewing it?
I'll get my own copy then. I need myself some robot dinosaurs, man. The reason I'm looking forward to Death Stranding is because Metal Gear is just an absolutely bonkers piece of... history.
Death Stranding was going to originally be Silent Hills.
Was it? I thought has input from... what's his name?
I don't know if it was originally going to be Silent Hills before...
Death Stranding?
Before Konami basically showed him the door.
Yeah.
Before he parted company with Konami.
Yeah.
Was he had produced one of the most terrifying demos you have ever seen in your life.
PT. I don't play horror games, and that really messed me up.
Yeah. And that was supposed to be the sort of tech demo for what was going to be called Silent Hills.
Yeah, and it was going to be with Guillermo del Toro.
He was helping writing it, but it was also going to star Norman Reedus.
Yes.
And I was really looking forward to that just because I'm an old school Silent Hill fan, and I'll be the first to admit that, you know, round about the time of Downpour, that series had become kind of a hotbed of shit ideas. You know, they were kind of trying to increase their cash while keeping the fans happy. And the thing about horror games is they are, generally speaking, cult, in that, like, horror isn't for everybody, as you well know.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, that's probably the... I hope that Death Stranding takes some of what was going to go into Silent Hills, just because I think that, you know... The loss of that is a huge loss.
Well, there's three good reasons to think that. Norman Reedus is in it. Guillermo del Toro is in it. Mm. I don't know, Guillermo del Toro, I thought he was just a writer, but he was in that demo. Mm. Also, I think PlayStation is giving Kojima just all the freedom he wants.
Yeah, I get that, but, like, you're also talking about the fact that if he had developed anything that was proprietary for Konami, they will slam the door on that very, very quickly if they see it pitch up in a Sony game. I mean, look, PT, one of the best demos of all time. I don't know about you, I'd have kept that on my hard drive for ages, and that's now removed.
Yeah.
You can't get that anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Still not as scary as the inauguration.
Hey, are we going to end on that sad tone? Have a moment of silence for the world. Okay. Anyway, everybody, I think that's going to wrap it up for this edition of the HTXT AfriCast. We'll see you next week. I hope you have a good rest of the week. By the time you listen to this, we'll be over the hump of the week, the middle part, down into the weekend, and then we'll see you next Wednesday. From myself, Clinton, from Brendan,
cheers.
From Nick.
Thank you for that documentation of how the week plays out, Clint.
Yes, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, if you forgot. And from Lungi, still sitting in the corner typing away. And from everybody else at HTXT, we'll see you next week. Bye, everybody.
Sorry, the number you have dialed is not in service at this time.